Now, on behalf of the Christians that meet in the Gospel Hall at Heightsville, we give you a very hearty welcome to the meeting tonight. Trust that the meeting will prove a blessing to you, and that in the will of God, if the Lord be not come, you will be able to attend the Gospel meeting again tomorrow night in the Heightsville Gospel Hall at 7:45. We thank you for coming. If it is your first time, then to you we give a special welcome to our Gospel meeting. I would like to read with you one verse tonight from John's Gospel, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3, and verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I have read a text tonight that is well known in gospel preaching. I have read tonight of an expression that many people that are taking upon themselves have never truly experienced it in the way in which the Bible presents it. I am speaking very simply of what the Bible refers to as being born again or the new birth. I want to make it clear in your mind that I would never attempt to handle or speak from such a text, except that I go back in my own personal experience to a time when I was born again, a time when I was saved. And tonight I'm glad to tell you, and could be able to tell you, of a time when, a place where, in a manner how that God in His mercy reached and saved me. When we speak to people and tell them what the Bible says, that they have to be born again to be in heaven, there's all kinds of men that are prepared to argue it. And because their proud mind doesn't fully understand it, they would like to dismiss it as not being essential. I want to make it very, very clear at the beginning of my remarks that man in his inherited and invincible ignorance of the Word of God does not excuse them, and the solemn responsibility of the fact that if you are not born again, you will never be in heaven. We have read of the words of the Son of God Himself, when to one of the finest men of His day, He said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And friend, I want to make it very, very clear, at the commencement of our gospel meeting tonight, that if you have never had this happy experience in your life, you are not going to heaven. This man knew all about the kingdom. He knew all about its promises. He had read of its prophets. He was convinced that he was in it, only to learn from the tender words and lips of the Savior Himself, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're living in a day when people that do their shopping and do their buying by their dress and by that which they are eating in their diet. There's been a great return to natural foods. And people want to go back in centuries. They no longer want their food in prepackaged and all its fancy covering. They want to take it from the barrel. They talk about a natural life. I'm here tonight, friend, to preach as simply and as plainly and as best as God would allow, very carefully, without any hidden aspects or avenues to it, but to tell you what the Lord Jesus would tell you, what He would tell the very best in this audience tonight, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this verse does three things. It declares his need, it declares your need. It describes your nature, and it dispels your notions. Regardless, friend, of where you make your place of worship, even if you have attended the Gospel Hall Sunday School and the Gospel meetings all of your days and can never remember a time when the Gospel wasn't a familiar message on your ears, again I'm coming to you with this age-old message of the divine book we call the Bible, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are two night scenes in John's Gospel. There are two men that meet the Lord Jesus Christ by night. Friend, whether it be morning, noon, or night, it matters not. And I trust that everyone in this meeting tonight, everyone in the sound of my voice, will have that moment when you will meet Him. And meet Him as your Savior, else you will meet Him as your judge. You see, the only people that argue that you have to be born again are the ones that have never experienced it. A man or woman, a boy or girl that knows what it is to be born again, that has come into the happy knowledge of their sins forgiven, has no argument about it. They totally agree with the Word of God. And tonight they would say amen to the text we're preaching. And I'd like to speak to your heart in this meeting tonight. There are some in this company that I know, and others that are total strangers to me. And friend, whether I have known you for months or years, or whether we have never personally met, I would like that you would go from this meeting tonight with these words ringing in your ears. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The two men that met the Savior and had a meeting with the Savior at night in John's Gospel, it is interesting. One man is coming to the Savior by night. The other man is going from the Savior by night. The one man we have read about in John chapter 3, his name is Nicodemus. And to this man coming to the Savior by night, the Lord Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 13, to a man that is going from the Savior by night, he said concerning that man, better that he was never born. So friend, the truth of the Bible is this, that if you fail to have a time in your life, when you are born into God's family, the Lord Jesus Christ would say concerning you, better that you were never born. I have said that the verse describes man's need. You know, a person wouldn't make their way too far into the world, too far in this day to learn that why there is a need. There is something wrong. There is something missing. I have had the experience of visiting at times some of the most wealthiest people that live in the province that I come from. And they are the most unhappiest. What's wrong? Well, you see, there is something missing. Friends, salvation, we're not presenting to you something that makes life go better. We're presenting something tonight, friend, that you can't do without. And to die without it. The Lord Jesus Christ said you would perish. Listen to the text, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, but says someone in the meantime, I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I cannot comprehend it. Friend, your knowledge of it, your understanding of it, and your comprehension of it could be more than the man that is speaking to you. You know what I want to tell you tonight about this text? That I believe it. And I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, with all its power behind it. Young man, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It declares his need. Men wonder why. My own sister-in-law, when she first heard the gospel, determined in her heart that she was going to live as a Christian, that she was going to commence her day, and she was going to be so guarded in her talk, so guarded in her language, so right in her attitude, so complete in her work. But a young nurse in her 20s, it left her at the end of the day frustrated. Something is missing. And friend, that need is spiritual. And it is the new birth. You see, her thoughts were wrong. And I'm speaking to young men and women in this meeting tonight. Maybe to an older person that has heard the gospel many times. And your reasoning tonight has been bent. Has bent and bent by sin. You see, I'm not preaching something tonight that is unreasonable. Just because you have never accepted it, young man, does not mean that this isn't reasonable. I am glad to tell you that salvation is within reason. Listen to a text in Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Think of it tonight. The very one that holds your breath in his hand. That he actually deigns to reason with an unreasonable sinner. And says, come now and let us reason together. My friend, tonight sin has made you unreasonable. But salvation is within reason. But I want to tell you something else about this great salvation. While it is within reason tonight, there's something about it that is beyond reason. It is beyond my reason tonight how that God would ever love me and would ever give the darling of his bosom, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood and be the one that is speaking in John chapter 3, saying to this man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. To think that he left that place above, adored by all the sons of flame, and to think that he left it all behind, came into this world that owed its very existence to him, and died on a felon's cross and paid the debt of his sin. Our friend, tonight that is beyond reason. Is it not within your reason? You understand tonight, friend, as you have come into this meeting, maybe at the invitation of others, maybe because you have an inquisitive mind, or maybe because it is your duty, and you usually do it every year at the Heightsville Conference, has come to the gospel meeting. I am glad to tell you that salvation is not only within reason, but it is within this room. We are preaching a message tonight, friend, that there's any number of people in this audience that would witness to the fact that salvation is within the room. The message that we are preaching, if believed, if grasped by the empty hand of faith as a gift presented by God himself, you could leave this room tonight with a happy consciousness of your sins forgiven. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus to a man in Luke chapter 19 and verse 9. Said he to that man, Zacchaeus, this day is salvation. Come into this house, for as much as he also is, the son of Abraham. Salvation is within reach, within our reach. Sure, it is within reason, and it's within the room. But I see a woman in Mark chapter 5, and salvation becomes within a reach. And that woman is taken with a disease, with an issue of blood. The Savior passes her way. That dear soul did what a number did that are in this meeting here tonight. That a year ago were present at this conference and they were not saved and they were subject of many prayers. They would be very glad to tell you that it's only been a matter of weeks ago when the Savior passed their way. You know what they did? They did what that poor, dark, dying soul did in Mark chapter 5. They realized salvation is within a reach. And they took the Savior as he passed by. Ah, friend tonight, thank God we're not preaching something tonight that evades the minds of men and women. We're not preaching something tonight, friend, that is mystical or mysterious. We're preaching something tonight that is plain and simple. The Lord Jesus looked to this man with tender compassion and he said to him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And friend, unless this new birth takes place in your experience, you will never be in God's heaven. This man couldn't have been darker as to his need. He couldn't have been more distraught as to his understanding of it. The Lord Jesus gave one very simple, clear illustration of it. He took him back to a passage that he knew only too well himself. And he said to him, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I see that man intelligently, quietly, reverently, respectfully listening to the Savior. When he spoke of himself being lifted up, you know what Nicodemus vowed that day in his heart of hearts? If men are going to lift him up, I'll be there to take him down. And he was. I like to think, when he heard those lovely words quoted from verse number 14, when that man reeled back in his mind to that passage of Numbers chapter 21, he realized, the one that is speaking to me is going to be lifted up at Calvary. And he trusted him as his Savior. He must have got the assurance when he got to verse 16. My, it's nice to have the assurance that you're saved. Do you have that tonight? Well, you could only get it from the Word of God. And the only one that this man could get absolute assurance from was the one that was speaking to him. My, when he heard those words again, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There was a man that was absolute assurance of what? That that moment he was born into God's family. Ah, friend, tonight, I thank God, well, shall never forget when for the first time, I often tell him, not often, but I have told him, that when we moved from southwestern Ontario to the province of New Brunswick 7 years ago, a little earlier in the year than this, in the month of June, and had our belongings and everything packed into the truck. And usually it is my wife that makes the last check to make sure everything is picked up and gathered. Nothing is left behind. As far as we were concerned, we were leaving the home, the place had been sold, and we were moving. With the family in the car and in the truck all ready to leave. I said, "Just a minute." I got out of that truck. I think of it every time I see it. Went over to that brick home. Went upstairs to the third story. In the back of the room, right beside where there was a bed. And bowed my head. And thank God. And on June the 10th, 1957, this poor sinner was born into God's family. Oh, friend, tonight, you say, what happened? Well, very simple, I can tell you. Through the next verse of the man that had salvation come within the room, salvation came within my heart. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who is the lost one? I've often told people that my name was spelled a lot shorter that night than it was and that it is today. It's spelled with these letters. L-O-S-T. That was me. For the first time I realized he came to seek and to save me. I trusted him as my Savior. And on the authority of the Word of God and on the authority of the passage that we have read together, what took place? Oh, friend, I was born into God's family. I was born again. Listen to the words of the Savior. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It describes man's need. It declares his need. It describes his nature. If you are born with a nature tonight, friend, that is against God. That is alienated to him. Your thoughts tonight, you have a mind that cannot be brought into control by his word. There is no response. There's no love in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have never responded, never returned your love to him. And yet to think tonight that he comes out as a Savior in all his love and mercy and tender entreaty and says to you, come. The verse does something else. It dispels all of men's notions. When all the arguments of men are finished, with all our dispute about the Word of God, the Bible, and everything, you still turn to them and say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. From the oldest to the youngest, from the wealthiest to the poorest, from the most intelligent to the illiterate. Listen to what the text says. Friend, listen. I pause. I say to you, young man, tonight, you could quote the verse backwards. Likely you've learned verses, maybe the whole of the chapter. Listen, young friend. Know why I'm asking you to listen? It's for eternity. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.